Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, November 18, 2020. We begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Illinois Impact. Three area counties report fatalities. Monticello schools go all remote. Carl debuts COVID-19 dashboard. Among the now 10,875 Illinoisans to lose their lives to COVID-19, a Champaign County man in his 60s, a Vermilion County man in his 70s, and a Douglas County resident in their 70s, reported Tuesday by local health officials. No, nearly 1,000 Champaign County residents did not test positive in the span of 24 hours. But the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District on Tuesday cleared out a backlog of tests, sending the county's confirmed case total skyrocketing. Active Champaign County cases now stand at 1,509, up by 737. With big jumps from Rantoul, up 80 to 137, to Royal, up 12 to 13, recovered cases rose by 192 to 7,565. For totals for every zip code, we'll check another article. A new dashboard added to Carl Health's website shows there have been 79 COVID-19 deaths at its hospitals since March, and there are 106 COVID-19 patients currently at its hospitals in Urbana. Only in Normal, most in Urbana. With 19 cases since October 30, all originating from outside school buildings, Monticello will switch to remote-only learning beginning today, with a tentative return to in-person set for December 7. That article by Jeff D'Alessio. Wrong direction. Local hospitals. Carl begins canceling some elective procedures as COVID-19 cases soar. By Deborah Pressey, Urbana. As COVID-19 cases continue to soar, the Carl Health System has begun taking steps to preserve enough bed space and staffing at its Urbana hospital. Now underway is the rescheduling of elective procedures that would require an overnight stay in the hospital, according to Carl CEO Dr. James Leonard. Those elective procedures that can be done on an outpatient basis are still taking place, he said. So a colonoscopy, for example, you come get it and go home. Right now we're full steam ahead, Leonard said. This action is being taken only for Carl Foundation Hospital and not others in the Carl system, he said. That's because that hospital serves as the level one trauma center for the region, meaning it needs to have enough inpatient capacity not only for COVID-19 patients, but for emergency patients being transported there from across the region, Leonard said. Carl is rescheduling some elective procedures, as the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District reported a 40th COVID-19 death and 930 new cases Tuesday for Champaign County. The same day, Illinois added 12,601 new cases and 97 additional deaths statewide. Carl Foundation Hospital was caring for 79 COVID-19 patients as of Tuesday and was seeing a surge of need for hospital beds, according to Matt Kolb, Carl's chief operating officer. But because of these steps we've taken, we feel we can manage care for COVID and non-COVID patients, he said. The extent of COVID-19 spread in the community has had some impact on Carl's workforce, Kolb said. Though Carl can also draw on staff resources system-wide as needed. We have the staff today to take care of patients, but we have a large system and a number of areas we can draw on, he said. As COVID-19 cases have continued to rise, both Carle and OSF Healthcare recently implemented new restrictions on hospital visitors and support people for patients. For Carle at its locations, and for OSF at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center, Danville. Visiting policies at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center, Urbana, remain the same, said OSF spokesman Curtis Squires. Please note, this is an evolving situation, and changes could be made to the visitor policy in the upcoming days, he said. OSF hasn't made any changes concerning availability of elective procedures at either of the two hospitals, Squires said. While Carle is caring for dozens more COVID-19 patients in the hospital than it was in the spring, a lower percentage of the more recent COVID-19 patients have been sick enough to be in intensive care, Leonard said. In the spring, when the number of COVID-19 patients in the hospital was about 20, of those, 10 to 15 might be in the ICU, very sick and on a ventilator, he recalled. With more like 60 to 70 COVID-19 patients in the hospital these days, typically 5 to 10 of them are in intensive care, and the rest are on general medical floors, getting such supportive care as fluids and oxygen, Leonard said. The level of illness of COVID-19 patients in the hospital has likely been impacted by several factors, he said. That coronavirus may have changed a bit over time, that medical providers have learned more about treating the disease, and that they have more treatments at their disposal. Other changes since March? Testing capacity has increased in the community. Carle has enough personal protective equipment for its staff, and virtual medical visits have been ramped up, Kolb said. About a month ago, Carle also began implementing a new strategy for patients with COVID-19 coming to the emergency department or convenient care, sending those patients home to recover when appropriate, with daily check-in calls from their providers to monitor how they're doing and to help ease anxiety, Leonard said. The policy, since it's been in effect, has kept more than 100 patients out of the hospital, he said. Leonard recalled projecting back in the spring that the next COVID-19 surge would hit about November 1. I was off by a few weeks or so, he said. With projections calling for a vaccine to start becoming available in the spring, Leonard said he hopes people will set aside any fears they may have and seriously consider getting it. We are all in this together, and that vaccination to get us to herd immunity is very important, he said. Thanks to the presence of the University of Illinois, this area will also have the storage capacity for the vaccine, he said. As these things roll out, we are right in line to bring them to our community and our region, Leonard said. Until then, he urged, we need to be smart about this. The message about how to help prevent infections hasn't changed. Masks, social distancing, hand washing, controlling gatherings, and being smart about travel plans, he said. We're inviting the community to really join in the fight against COVID, especially as we wade into the holiday season, Kolb said. Governor's new order. For Illinois, another new round of restrictions starting Friday, by Jeff D'Alessio. It's not a full-fledged stay-at-home order, Governor J.B. Pritzker stressed, but the new rules that take effect at 12:01 a.m. Friday across Illinois come with some of the same mitigation measures that bogged down business in the spring. The best way for us to avoid a stay-at-home order is to stay at home, Pritzker said in announcing the state's Tier 3 resurgence mitigation plan Tuesday in Chicago. He repeated a line Illinoisans likely haven't heard the last of, if you don't need to do it, don't do it. That especially goes for interacting with people outside your own household. rather than spending Thanksgiving with extended family, we are asking people to choose Zoom, Pritzker said. And you should not attend dinners, events, gatherings, or meetings outside your own household. To be very clear, Pritzker added, we are relying on you here. Nobody will go door to door to check on you, but we're asking people to hold themselves and each other accountable. Among the new rules, which can be read in full at newsgazette.com, for those who may be running low on toilet paper, retail stores, including big box brands that sell groceries like Walmart and Meijer, will be limited to 25% capacity, the same as health and fitness centers. Grocery and convenience stores will be limited to 50% capacity. Personal care services must operate at the lesser of 25 clients or 25% of capacity, but can remain open as long as everyone wears a mask, a face covering, throughout the appointment. Bars and restaurants must shut down at 11 p.m. and not reopen before 6 a.m., as has been the case under Tier 1 restrictions in East Central Illinois. No indoor dining is allowed. Also forbidden, all indoor group sporting and recreational activities, the use of video gambling terminals, and gatherings in meeting rooms, banquet centers, private party rooms, private clubs, and country clubs. Closed, all indoor recreation centers, theaters, performing arts centers, and indoor museums. Funerals are capped at 10 family members. As for schools, Pritzker said the decision whether to offer any version of in-person learning would be up to local districts. Last week, Champaign County schools were advised by CU Public Health District Administrator Julie Pride to pivot as soon as possible to all remote learning through January 5. Some did. Unit 4, Rantoul Elementaries, schools in the Catholic Diocese of Peoria. Many others resumed in-person learning this week with plans to reassess in the days ahead whether to switch following Thanksgiving break. Pritzker also pleaded with employers statewide to keep workers at home in the weeks ahead if possible. All workplaces that have remote capabilities should have their employees work remotely, he said. If you are able to work at home, you need to do so. Unlike previous 30-day orders, the plan unveiled Tuesday has no set end date, with the data determining how soon rules can be relaxed in individual regions, Pritzker said. To move out of Tier 3 and on to the less restrictive Tier 2, according to the state, a region must meet three criteria: a 7-day average positivity rate below 12% for three consecutive days, greater than 20% ICU and hospital bed availability for three consecutive days, declining 7-day COVID-19 hospitalizations average in 7 of the last 10 days. And if the rules don't bring down positivity rates and hospitalizations, if these measures don't start to bend this curve, it is clear that we're going to have to take more difficult measures and go to a stay-at-home order, Pritzker said. The new rules came on the same day that the state announced 12,601 newly confirmed cases, 97 additional deaths, and most troubling of all, rapidly rising hospitalization numbers. As of Tuesday, State Public Health Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike said, one out of every four patients hospitalized in Illinois had COVID-19, and that number is only going to grow, she added. The second wave is now here, Ezike said, and it's more dire than what we saw in the spring. Champaign City Council. Black Heritage Trail may begin with bus wrap of mural. By Ben Zichterman, Champaign. It's still in the early stages, but local officials and organizers hope one day to have a trail of murals and markers noting Black history in Champaign County. and it could begin with a mobile mural on an MTD bus. In collaboration with the University of Illinois College of Fine and Applied Arts and MTD, Visit Champaign County submitted a proposal for a state grant to reimagine a mural that used to be in North Champaign as a wrap on a bus. There's a lot of deep admiration and respect for the mural that was done by Angela Rivers, Visit Champaign County President Jane DeLuce said at Tuesday's Champaign City Council meeting. It would also include an educational component on the inside of the bus, she said, and if approved, the bus mural could be completed by January. The bus mural was seen as an opportunity to get a mural created quickly, as the cold weather will push future murals into the spring. Organizers hope to eventually create a heritage trail with several murals that highlight local Black history. Another is planned for inside the Champaign Park District's Martin Center, which is scheduled to open in spring 2022. And organizers also suggested the Washington Street Viaduct, downtown and on North First Street. DeLuce said it could also include historic buildings, public art, churches, and parks throughout Champaign County. There is a lot of history and a lot of people that will be involved, she said, including community members, the Champaign Park District, the Champaign County Black Chamber of Commerce, By Black Shambana, Cranert Center, and 40 North. That part is just beginning. DeLuce said most murals would likely be placed on private buildings with the goal of keeping them up for decades. You want to be able to create a building mural that is going to be here for decades to come, she said. We can't guarantee 30 to 40 years from now what will happen, but we do want to select with areas that will be as permanent as possible. From the Our County section, Urbana Police Department traffic stops. Pilot program aims to reduce racial disparity. By Ben Zichterman, Urbana. To address the racial disparity in the traffic stops Urbana officers make, the police department will be piloting a program next year that puts patrol officers where there are traffic problems. Chief Bryant Serafin and Mayor Diane Marlin are optimistic it will help eliminate the traffic stop disparity, in part because they said it already has. With its selective traffic enforcement program, officers focus on areas where there are more accidents, and these stops make up about 31% of all traffic stops in the city. Among these stops, Black drivers were less likely to be pulled over in 2019 than would be expected based on how many Black drivers the city estimates are on the road from accident data. But among regular patrol stops, when police officers don't have a focused location to patrol, Black drivers were 61% more likely to be pulled over in 2019 than would be expected. Now the city wants to expand the traffic enforcement program to all traffic stops in 2021. This is a dramatic difference, a vast departure from how we've done this traditionally, Serafin said at Monday's city council meeting. He said Fayetteville, North Carolina, made a similar change and reduced its racial disparity in traffic stops, decreased crashes, and didn't see a significant change in the crime rate. The bottom line is that we're disproportionately stopping our Black drivers in Urbana, and how do we change that behavior, he said. We do it by looking at where the officers are. It gets back to the basic philosophy of traffic enforcement, which is to promote traffic safety, Marlin said. This makes a lot of sense. It's a simple approach, but I think it is the right one. Champaign County Courts. Man gets 3 years for shooting at brother's van. By Mary Schenck, Urbana. A Champagne man who shot his brother's van in a fit of pique was sentenced Tuesday to 3 years in prison. Despite testimony from his mother, brother, girlfriend, and a friend about what a good person Jalen Bryant is, Judge Randy Rosenbaum called the 27-year-old a crappy brother. A jury convicted Bryant in October of unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon in connection with a July 2, 2019 incident in which he shot at his brother's unoccupied van in a driveway on North Goodwin Avenue in Urbana. He was reportedly upset with his brother over damage the brother supposedly did to another vehicle on a different occasion. To aggravate Bryant's sentence, Assistant State's Attorney Justin Umia presented evidence linking him to a May 31 aggravated battery of another of his brothers. Champaign County Sheriff's Deputy Rob DeRauschi testified that he was called to Bryant's home in the 1900 block of Joanne Lane by his mother because Bryant had thrown a knife at his brother, cutting the brother's shin. Umia also had two other officers testify that they arrested Bryant on November 7, 2019 and October 20 for driving under revocation, which was based on a previous driving under the influence conviction. Secretary of State Police Officer Tim Fry testified he tried to stop Bryant in Champaign for a traffic violation last month, just 12 days after his conviction on the weapons charge, but he did not stop for about six blocks, even though Fry had lights and sirens on. Fry said Bryant then gave him a false name, and when he finally admitted his real identity, Fry learned his license was revoked. To mitigate Bryant's sentence, his mother testified that the accidental death of Bryant's uncle in 2005, caused by a stray bullet that killed him inside a home, sent her son into a downward spiral that included drug abuse. More recently, she said her son had to fight to get custody of his young son, and just 2 months ago became a father again to a daughter. She said he was the sole supporter of his girlfriend and his two children, along with being physically and financially supportive of his ailing grandmother and an autistic uncle who was injured in a car accident last summer. Another of Bryant's brothers who employs him called him a hard worker and said his imprisonment would be a hardship on his children and the rest of the family. Bryant faced a mandatory prison term of between 2 and 10 years for the conviction. Umia sought 8 years. This wasn't a simple traffic stop with an unloaded gun. This was a loaded gun that he discharged, Umia reminded Rosenbaum. The neighbor who called 911 said a gun was being fired when children were playing outside. Of all people, a man whose uncle was killed by a stray bullet should have known the risk he posed to others by firing in a neighborhood, Umia said, calling Bryant a danger to the community. He also said Bryant's penchant for driving without a license, including just days after his conviction, showed his utter disregard for the rules of society. Bryant's attorney, Dan Jackson of Champaign, said he had gotten his GED, was taking care of his family, and that a lengthy imprisonment would be a hardship to his family. He noted that besides his DUI and 10 traffic convictions, Bryant had only one misdemeanor battery conviction and was not a violent person. Urbana High School picking up steam. Theater department goes virtual with Muthvash as students rise to the challenge. By Anthony Zillis, Urbana. When former Urbana High School theater director Tim Broker left the school in the spring, co-director Alyssa Pavlakis and students from Broker's time at the school put together a variety show for him over Zoom, recording their favorite songs and monologues to perform for the outgoing director. That got Pavlakis, her students, and co-directors thinking bigger. We thought, if we can do that, we can make it better than that, Pavlakis said. The restrictions in place, allowing only very small groups of students in the building, the high school theater department got to work this fall on their annual show called Muthvash, which is a compilation of the words musical theater variety show. I really sat down with my fellow directors as well as the kids and said, okay, how can we make this the best it can be, Pavlakis said. Because you can make art anywhere. It was just, how can we make this as good as possible? In the show, actors will perform 17 monologues and songs from their favorite musicals and plays. The hour-and-a-half show will stream at 7 p.m. on Friday and Saturday at showtix4u.com. The show will cost $5 for students, $7 for adults, and $10 for a family. The show comes off of a devastating summer in which students involved in the production of Theory of Relativity, who were invited to perform at the prestigious International Thespian Festival, had to do so virtually because of the coronavirus pandemic. The disappointment lingered, but the program was also left with the donations it received to allow students to attend. With that money, they bought a new camera on which they filmed this weekend's show, and they hired local artists to give workshops. Throughout the production, Pavlakis has been blown away by the quality of production her students have been able to create. The show was filmed by senior Max Pociask, spelled P-O-C-I-A-S-K, who wants to become a film director. Pociask filmed a variety of shots of the actors who mostly came in individually. That footage, then, was given to sophomore Amelia Gimbel, who had already edited 7 out of the 17 pieces within a day of receiving the footage. It was a lot of these kids figuring out as we went how to make this show look as normal as possible, Pavlakis said. I am so impressed with my kids that I can't sing their praises enough. From lighting to set design to acting to filming and editing, this play has been different from any ever performed at Urbana. During the time with plenty of experiences lost for high schoolers, Pavlakis students were able to learn a completely new process in a familiar environment. We've really been trying to say, this isn't normal, and how do we make this as good as possible? Because this opens up other opportunities, things we maybe usually don't think about, Pavlakis said. When my kids stepped into the theater, even though it wasn't normal, even though it was only like 3 kids at a time, they were like, I'm home. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette dated Wednesday, November 18, 2020. Please stay tuned.